serious allegations that waterboarding and electric shock torture were used by the army here during the Troubles. In a report on Channel 4 News last night, it was claimed the Parachute Regiment carried out the acts in Northern Ireland in the 1970s. One victim spoke to Alex Thompson on Channel 4.
I was brutalised. A lot of physical beating, kicking, and then it progressed on to other forms of torture, and one which is being now described as waterboarding. There was a cloth tied around my head, and I was held face down by the two soldiers, and water poured over the back of my head, which filled up the cloth, which was a sensation of drowning. Although, thinking back on it, it was more suffocation.
But you genuinely felt like, this is it, I'm going to die here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was convinced of it. I was 17 years of age, technically a child. This was done by the British Army and what they call a part of Britain. And this was British soldiers doing this to one of their citizens.
There were also allegations in the news report that documents showed that former British Prime Minister Ted Heath knew about the torture. The former Liberal Democrat leader, Lord Ashdown, tweeted last night, "As a soldier in Belfast in the 70s, I'm horrified some serving with me used torture. The full truth must now come out for exemplary reasons." He called on the Secretary of State, James Brokenshire, to make an appropriate response for an investigation into the allegations.
We now have what appears to be clear documentary proof to support what were previously unsupported allegations. I do not believe that the government would have sanctioned these at a high level, but it does appear to me to be the case that having discovered they were going on, it certainly hid the facts, and I find that completely unacceptable. For exemplary reasons, this must now come out in detail, and I hope the Secretary of State will make an appropriate response.
The DUP's Gregory Campbell with us this morning. Are you concerned about this, Gregory?
Well, first thing is, Stephen, I didn't see the programme, so I'm not sure and I'm not clear if a proper and accurate context was laid out in the programme of the time in which these things happened. It appears that it was during the early to mid-1970s, and of course, you know, whether you lived through it or whether you just look at the history records, that was the bloodiest time of all the Troubles. Over 400 people were murdered in 1972 alone. Now, that's the context in which the state were responding to a very vicious campaign by terrorism. Now, if in the course of that there were occasions when a small number of people, whether soldiers or police officers, overreacted in response to that, then those individual circumstances should be investigated.
Can you understand why people would have, in the context you have described, turned to these extreme methods?
Well, I think we have to understand what was going on. You know, I've heard some people try to indicate that the small number of instances where, if we're to believe on the take at face value what some people said happened to them, that then resulted in people, either those people or others, either who knew them or were associated with them, then joined paramilitary organisations, and then the violence escalated. That's a very, very dangerous road to go down. We must get the proper context correct here. And it is that there was increasing and escalating violence. The state tried to control that and tried to deal with it. And in so doing, a small number of people may well have overreacted. If they did, that is totally inappropriate and should be investigated. But it wasn't the case of the violence in Northern Ireland was caused because of alleged instances like this.
I'm asking this question in the context of Donald Trump. So one of the most powerful men in the world now, obviously the President of the United States, has said that he thinks waterboarding is acceptable. Do you, in certain circumstances?
Well, I think when you look back what interrogation techniques that were used either 60 years ago or even 30 years ago would not be used now. But you do have to have some form of interrogation technique.
Yeah, but I guess I'm not asking about now. I'm asking about then and the context. You know, I was just being bored.
We have to understand the difference between then and now.
I was about to say, you know, I was just being born in 1973, so I don't have the real life experience of what it was like in the 70s, and obviously I was too young as a child to understand in the 80s. So therefore, given the context of what you were living through, do you think it would have been acceptable in some of the more extreme circumstances to use these techniques like waterboarding or electric shock treatment in Northern Ireland if it were to be attempting to save lives? Or is it just crossing a line that we should never cross ever?
Well, I don't think it's acceptable. But what we have to do is we have to then say, well, okay, let's rule waterboarding and some of these other more extreme interrogation techniques out. We then have to move the pendulum along and say, well, then what is acceptable? Given the context, the soldiers and police were trying to deal with a rapidly escalating situation. Remember, Stephen, more people died in 1972 than in 10 years of the Troubles towards the end of the Troubles. You know, the 10 years up until 1994, there weren't as many people killed as there was in the 1 year in 1972. That's how horrendous it was. It was more than one person every single day was being murdered on average. So the police and the army had to respond to that. There were certain things that they couldn't and shouldn't have done. But in responding...
What does it say about the British Army that they did do it?
Well, a lot of armies across the globe do things and did things that they shouldn't do because they're responding to an escalating position. Now, I do think that what you have to do is you have to then say, well, how widespread was this? You know, and rather than just focusing in on, and if there are a small number of people who have indicated that they have complaints, then they should come forward, make those complaints to the appropriate authorities. And if the people who were responsible for carrying it out, if that was the case, they should be identified and made subject to the law. Just as the people who implicated and caused the violence to which the state was responding should also be made subject to the law.
Should the soldiers who carried this out now be prosecuted, pursued, investigated, identified and prosecuted?
Well, I don't think it would be appropriate. And, you know, we're going into similar types of positions as people were a few weeks ago, you know, in talking about, well, you know, there were soldiers or there were police officers who may have exceeded their authority, may have done certain things that they shouldn't have done 40 or 45 years ago. And should we assiduously go after those individuals while not going after others who caused the scenario in the first place to which the army and the police were responding? I don't think you should do that, because if you do that, you then are in grave danger of what the Secretary of State alluded to at the weekend, of law-abiding people saying, well, this is skewed in completely the wrong direction. Rather than examining the context of how something happened, who was responsible for it happening, why it happened, simply taking the easier option, which is with the two or three complaints here, let's assiduously pursue those who we think may be responsible and ignore the hundreds of others who caused the problem in the first place.
Sinn Féin's Pat Sheehan joining us now as well. Gregory's saying the context, he's condemning what happened, but he's saying the context is important. Let's remember how many people were being killed, Pat.
Good morning, Stephen, I listened to Gregory's weasel words there. Of course, the British Army, when we talk about people being killed, met Dave Anderson, the Shadow Secretary of State, the other day with the families of the Ballymurphy massacre. The parachute regiment went into Ballymurphy and systematically shot dead 11 people over 2 days. The same regiment went on to Derry on Bloody Sunday and murdered people up there that we all know about. So we're talking about deaths that were happening. Maybe Gregory will include the British Army. And, of course, they were also arming loyalist organisations and providing them with intelligence to go out and kill people in the nationalist community.
You were quite well armed yourself, Pat Sheehan, weren't you? You're the man who tried to bomb a Cashin Carry.
Absolutely. I've never denied that. I took up arms against the British forces here in Ireland. I've never once denied that on your show, Stephen, have I?
No, you haven't. But I'm simply pointing out that when you're talking about what the British Army may or may not have done, yeah. they were trying to protect people against people like you who were bombing cash and carries.
They weren't trying to protect people in Ballymurphy in 1971. They weren't trying to protect people in Derry in 1972. And of course, they've been involved in countless other killings during their time here. And they were also involved in systematic torture. And there's no Republican I know that hasn't been brutalised in some way by the British Army, including myself. I've suffered firsthand at British Army brutality. So, you know, and we had, of course, Bob Stewart, the former British Army officer, now Tory MP, admitting last week that he was a torturer. Where else would a statement like that have sort of just passed over without, you know, the mainstream media having a major run at it? Of course, it was mentioned in the media, but there was nothing big about it. And what's important in all of this, Stephen, is that James Bowenshire, in a statement the other day about British Army members involved in killings here, and now we're talking about British Army who were involved in torturing as well, are going to be provided with immunity if James Brokenshire and the DUP have their way. That's the main story here.
Do you differentiate, Pat, in any way between the allegations against the British Army and how they tortured people and how the IRA tortured people?
Well, there's a bit of a difference there, first of all.
Is there?
We're here to talk about the British state involved in torture.
Well, you may be, but I think we should be talking about all types of torture in Northern Ireland.
Okay. Well, whatever
the IRA would have shot people in the leg, sometimes in the head.
They
would have strapped bombs around people. What kind of torture is that?
And that's all well documented. The difference is, Stephen, that the IRA has left the stage. They have gone away many years ago. They have put their weapons away beyond use. The British Army are still involved in torturing people. It may not be so much here now, but they're certainly involved in places like Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, places like that. They have been involved with the CIA in this euphemism of extraordinary rendition when people are ghosted away, taken away from their families, held without communication with anyone on the outside, and brutally tortured. You know, and we've had evidence of that from members of the Muslim community in England. So the British Army are still at it. They were at it here, and they've been at it in every theatre of war they've been
And Gregory, of course, I'll let you come in just a second, but just to be clear, I'm not talking about present day, Pat. When we go back into the 70s and the 80s, do you differentiate at all between the torture which you're condemning the British Army carried out and the torture the IRA carried out?
Well, torture is wrong, first of all. And you talked about people being shot.
So you would condemn the IRA for the torture they carried out, would you?
Torture is wrong, but I'm going to make a point here, Stephen. First of all, a conservative estimate, is that over 25,000 Republicans spent time in jail. And many members of the British Army spent time in jail. Two, three, four, less than a handful, certainly anyway. And the issue here is that the British soldiers who were involved in killing here and the British soldiers who were involved in torture here and the members of the RUC who were involved in torture here are being given immunity. So if you want to make a comparison between what the IRA was involved in and what the British state was involved in, then let's take a look at how many of them were punished for what they were involved in.
Gregory Campbell, Pat has described your words this morning as weasel words.
Yes. You know, it's somewhat ironic that Pat Sheehan there talks about his past, that he took up a position in relation to the British state forces, I think he called them. I'm not sure what part of the British state forces the cash and carry was. Not sure about that.
Well, Gregory, just ask you a question.
No. That's
you,
question.
I remember you on
what,
the Stephen.
What part of the British State Forces was the cash and carry?
I remember you on the state on the Stephen Nolan show. Stephen asked you if you had ever lifted or thrown a stone, and you couldn't remember. You couldn't remember. Did you or did you not ever lift a stone? Were you ever involved in violence yourself, Gregory?
No,
well, he's just answered that. He's just answered that, and he said, no, he wasn't. He has answered that.
Yeah, I want to know. Pat talked about taking up action. He took part in action against the British state forces. Now, his participation, as you alluded to, was involving a cash and carry. Now, what part of the British state forces was a cash and carry?
Gregory. So let's not get away from the issue of torture here.
What part of it was it?
The state has been involved. And are you going to call for those British soldiers who were involved in torture to be prosecuted for what they were involved in?
Right. So what? Take it the cash and carry wasn't involved in the British state forces then.
Cash and carries, Gregory. We're not on to talk about cash and carries. We're on to talk about torture. And the proposition that you're putting forward, and James Brokenshire is putting forward, that British state involvement in torture here is going to be given immunity from prosecution.
Right. Well, that's the issue. I think, Stephen, we can take it then that there's not going to be an explanation of what part of the British state forces the cash and carry was involved
in. Well, look. Hold on 1 second, because we'll talk about that in 2 seconds. But Pat, just to give you an opportunity to answer that, why did you target a cash and carry? Why was that a legitimate target?
Stephen, there was a conflict ongoing here in the 1970s. Part of that conflict involved the IRA's involvement in an economic bombing campaign, both here and in Britain.
Against the cash and carry?
Straightforward. The whole idea was to undermine the British occupation of this country. Both attacks on the military and attacks on the economy. Straightforward. Now, can we get back to the torture?
Stephen, I think this is something that the satirists could have a field day with. You know, Pat Sheehan is seriously trying to indicate that the economic war that he says he was engaged in was furthered by an attack on a cash and carry. Now, come on. Let's get real.
Well, would their war have been furthered by torturing people, Gregory? And it's a fair question that Pat has asked you. Would you now support those British soldiers being identified and prosecuted?
Well, I've already stated, Stephen, and I'm happy to repeat, if there are individual and specific allegations against named persons, then they should be pursued. What I would not be in favour of, and this is no weasel words, I don't engage in weasel words, what I would not be in favour of is someone saying, and I'm glad the Secretary of State came out at the weekend and said it, someone saying, look, what we've got to do is there were a very, very small number, and there were a very small number of instances where police or army personnel may have been engaged in an excessive response to violence that was there before. The violence preceded the response, not the other way around. I know some people...
But whatever way round it is...
You would
support an investigation into those soldiers, would you?
I would support an investigation if it was an investigation into, A, the context in which the response was made in the first place, and a vigorous pursuit of those responsible for the murders and the killings that then necessitated some sort of response in which a small number of people may well have exceeded their authority. I would be happy to support that sort of investigation. But that's the problem where we haven't been able to resolve the legacy issue, Stephen, because people like Pat Sheehan keep on trying to rewrite the past, and now they're talking about attacks on cash and carries as if that was some sort of political statement, and they can't accept they created violence. The state then responded to the violence. And what happened then was a subsequent to the creation of what the IRA developed themselves.
Final word from you, Pat.
Well, of course, what Gregory's actually saying is torture's okay, depending on the context. And, of course, torture is never right. the British state.
Well, he's not saying that, is he? And he hasn't said that.
No. Well, he's saying that.
He said that. In fact, he said the opposite. He said torture is wrong.
Well, what he said was, and I listened carefully to what he said, that any investigation has to take account of the context at the time. And the context doesn't matter. Torture is wrong, full stop. There's no ifs or buts about it.
But the attacks British on state, cash and carriage
the British,
okay.
The British state was involved in torture. The British state was involved in torture here in Ireland for many, many years.
But Pat, when you say the context doesn't matter and it's wrong no matter what, you then in the same breath justify your bombing campaign by quoting context.
Oh, absolutely.
So is that not hypocritical? You say context is irrelevant when you're looking back at what the British Army did. But when you carried a bomb to Cash and Carry, then context is important.
Stephen, you are the one who said that the British forces were here to protect people. Now, were they here to protect people or were they here to torture people? It's one or the other. You can't have both. And that's the context. The British state were torturing people here. They were torturing people in Afghanistan. They were torturing people in Kenya when they were there and India when they were there. They were torturing people in Iraq. So they haven't changed. They're still the same and they've been involved in torture with other agencies from other countries as well.